am Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. This is one of our many questions that we get asked from midwives. So Stacy and I are doing a great billing and coding educational series over the next few months. So Stacy, if you just want to give a high level overview who you are, and then I'll put in the link below details to the video where we talked in depth.
I'm Stacy Carruth. I'm a licensed midwife. I have 9 children, 19 grandchildren, and have had a home birth practice for, 20 years. I've been a primary midwife. And I founded Midwives Advantage. It's a billing company for midwives and birth centers. And I'm happy you asked me to join you.
Yeah. So one of the questions that I get commonly asked is, when I do consulting with midwives, we don't ever want to make assumptions. I mean, nurse midwives don't really get a lot of the business side of billing. We get taught how to be good employees in the hospital system and put in the EMR systems, the codes, and the biller takes care of it. But if you're running your own private practice, which most certified professional midwives and direct entry midwives, and my goal is to get more and more midwives in general to run private practice, that billing and coding side is a make or break. And if you don't understand it, there's great resources out there. I made an online course. You and I are making some great series. You're more than happy to talk to midwives and help them any way possible. I thought it would be a great video to just talk about the claim processing steps, like from the very beginning to the end. So midwives can really understand when they're creating their business plan or they're trying to find a great biller, they understand the appeals process. They understand the backdrop of running a claim. So if you want to just talk from the beginning to the end, seeing the patient to getting paid. Sure.
Well, the first step would always be verifying their benefits. And, you know, a midwife can do that or have her office staff, but you have them present their insurance card. There's usually a number or a website you can call to verify what benefits they have. And you would ask if they have maternity coverage, and if they have out-of-network benefits. You know, if most of these midwives starting up are going to be out-of-network, even if they decide to contract with them at a later date. And it's very important to, when you submit claims, to get the spelling correct on the claims, to have every number is important, to get the member ID right, the group number. You have to be completely precise or your claim's going to get rejected. But verify benefits.
I think it's good reinforcing, Stacy, the verification of benefits is almost the most important, because your goal is to get the claim in the first time, get it processed, get paid as soon as possible. If you have little hiccups, you didn't put it in correctly, you didn't attach the documents they wanted, you didn't bill the right code, that appeals process extends things. It creates more overhead for your practice. It makes frustration with the patients. If there's a remaining balance, you're less likely to get paid in time. So I want to reinforce, even though people think it's silly, having a good system for verification of benefits is probably one of the most important parts, besides learning the codes and learning how to document. In the beginning, it's a ripple effect. If you do not have good systems for even for your biller, you could have the best biller in the world, but if you're not giving them the most accurate information, they're not going to get you paid. So sorry, right. I just wanted to add that little two cents.
We've had a few times where we've had a midwife just send us like through email, a member ID number, something, and transpose numbers. And it just has to be perfect or it's not going to work.
Yeah. Pictures of cards versus typing it out. Pictures of the front and back and the back. Yeah. Like, people don't realize how important that back is.
It is. Another resource is Availity, is an online clearinghouse, and it's free. A midwife can log in and get an account on Availity, anyway.
Well, do some research, Stacy, and I'll make sure it's at the bottom of the link of this video so that they can click it. I would love to connect any great resources you have.
But especially starting out, and they may just want to see that process. Even if they end up hiring a biller, they might want to see how that's done, but you know, they can verify that online. And it's relatively
okay. So we got verification. She has out-of-network benefits. She's covered by a home birth, out of hospital with this type of midwife in your local area. You double-checked all the details. So now she's become a patient and you're doing her prenatal care. If you want to just talk the difference of GYN billing versus maternity, like when's the timing the claims are submitted, just so people understand that.
Yes. Well, if you're doing a well woman exam or pap smear or IUD or birth control, something like that, you can bill that at the time.
The day of service, yep.
Submit that quickly. Keep in mind that if they have, you know, whatever their out-of-network deductible is, if it's not satisfied, then the bills you submit, they will be credited toward her deductible. You more than likely won't receive any additional money from the insurance company. So it's important to get paid for those services as you provide them.
Yeah, especially when you know that verification on top of knowing that they're covered with that insurance plan, getting an estimation of their costs, you can decide with your billing services, do I want them to pay their estimated costs ahead of time? Do I want to wait till all the claims process? But I would say most midwives, to be successful long-term, collect that estimated costs from the patient before the service, and then they reimburse them for the difference if there is any discrepancies. But to get paid 6 months to a year later, it's such a low conversion unless they're planning on having another baby with you, which is sad, but that's just the way it is.
And people lose their motivation to pay. You know, you're a lot more excited about making that car payment when that car's brand new versus when
the midway and the baby's a year old and there's no financial, like what's going to happen. You can send them to debt collection. So that's a conversation we'll have with our other talk, but yes. I want to get high level of, okay, now she's a patient. We're going to assume she's pregnancy. Talk about the pregnancy claim process. You're going to want to chart, do care. I think a lot of midwives, when they start out and choose insurance, don't realize they have to budget a whole overhead of a year, year and a half of caring for people before you'll get reimbursed by the insurance company.
Yes. Many times you have to wait until you've provided the services, obviously, to bill. So most of the time you're waiting until the delivery, or if they were in labor and transferred out, or at any point during the pregnancy, if they risk out, then you can submit a bill for the work that you've performed. And insurance companies, they block prenatals. There's a 4 to 6 prenatal CPT code 59425. And then there's 7 or more prenatals 59426. And if you did those units of prenatals, you would just bill whatever's appropriate that you performed. If you did less than 4, you would bill those out as separate office visits. Mm-hmm. But once you've done the delivery, even though the 6-week postpartum exam is included in that, the insurance companies allow submission following the birth. They say they're assuming, you know, you did the delivery, you will do the postpartum exam. So that's something to know. You don't have to wait until they're completely discharged from your care before you can submit a claim.
Yeah. And that's the nice thing. I would have part of our flow with the practice. You do, when you're postpartum, you're tired, you'd have a checklist and we'd sterilize the tub. We'd do this. We check over baby. We got the birth certificate, but it also had prep stuff for the billing company, because now we knew as soon as that baby came out, we could start processing the claims for the last 9 months of care. So you definitely were like anxious, like, okay, I want to get paid for everything I've done the last 9 months.
And some claims can pay quickly. I mean, we've had some claims process in 4 days. That's definitely an exception. It's not the rule, but it gives you hope. Some of them have processed in 7 days or 10 days, but typically the insurance, if it's submitted electronically, they have 30 days to, and some insurance companies will sit on it until the 30th day and then they process it.
Yeah, there's always a direct correlation. The bigger the claim is, the bigger they have to pay out, the longer it tends to get dragged out, unfortunately.
Yes. If it was a paper submission, I think most of them have 45 days to process that. And in that time, you can also get correspondence from insurance companies wanting more information. Sometimes they'll want the chart. But as we were talking about earlier, the midwife is in a unique position that she's billing as her bill is equivalent to like the OB's care for a woman. She's giving maternity care and also then like pediatric care for the newborn. Mm-hmm. And then in some cases there are, you know, like a facility claim for supplies. And that's actually where midwives get paid for their time and labor, because there's not a CPT code that covers labor observation. That's in with the facility claim. So there's different types of billing that's done. And we've seen sometimes where when midwives have done their own billing, they will try to put claims for the newborn exam on the mom's claim. And you're like, no, you have to bill the appropriate codes for each patient. Those are separate claims. You do a separate claim.
And that's the next level of dynamic. We have one individual patient while they're in the mom's belly, even though we're doing our belly assessment, our fundal checks, and we're treating them as one unit. And then as soon as the baby comes out, you're separating two, you have three. You have your facility, depending on your location. You have your provide patient care for the mom and the baby. So it's very, very complex in the uniqueness of billing for midwives. And so I think that's why it's so important to have these conversations.
Yes.
So the claims put out, and I like to put, when you say processed in 30 to 45 days, depending on it, if it's electronic or paper, process doesn't mean you always get paid. They may ask for extra documentations. They may deny it for XYZ. Maybe the provider type. I've had it where it would bang my head against the wall. A nurse midwife isn't listed in their insurance company to do newborn care in this setting, or they're just not listed as a midwife to do newborn care. So you get these denials, and that's why it's so important to know your providers really well. When you talk about as a midwife, you're not just asking verification of benefits for the mom, you're also asking for the future baby. Because if they need to be non-covered services for home visits and newborn care, that's a good discussion to have with the families ahead of time. So it's very interesting, the complexity around billing. And that's why I reinforce having somebody like you on the team or some sort of billing expert that keeps up with the rules, knows the payers in your area, have worked with midwives in the past, because they know the unique challenges that we have. So as far as the claim, I mean, in a perfect world, we submit the day of delivery, we get paid before the 6-week visit, we get to settle our outstanding balances with the moms at the 6-week visit while she's still high on a kite and loves you completely. And then you're done. And then you take care of more ladies in a perfect world.
So she can see you.
So, is there any other high-level overview tips? We just wanted to give a level of midwives understanding, like if you're working with a biller and what that process looks like, because it's a team. If you don't submit the right codes or do the right documentation for the biller, they can't get you paid nearly as well. So you guys are very symbiotic relationship, and it's just as important to not understand the nitty-gritties of the private practice and the rules and the payers. But as a midwife, if you want to help out your biller, making sure you get the right financial agreements, you have a clear expectation, you did a good verification of benefits, either the billing company talks to her about the estimated cost or you do. Is there any other great tips in that claim processing to smooth it out?
And this is probably going to be another video of yours about what questions to ask a biller, but in this, I would say, ask if a billing service provides the coding. Like, some billing services will review the chart or the services that the midwife performed, and they do the appropriate coding. So there's billing and coding are two different things. a coder looks at the services and picks the appropriate ICD-10, you know, the diagnosis code and the CPT code. Some billers want the midwife to provide the coding aspect of that. And then there are online resources to look up appropriate diagnosis codes or even look to see if that's a billable code. It's the strangest thing. There are a lot of diagnosis codes, but when you look up that specific code, it says it's not billable. So you can use it to describe a situation, maybe in the chart, but it's not, you can't use it on a claim.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely, you flag to me, we'll do an interview of a billing person, and we'll also talk about the importance of accurate ICD-10 codes and CPT codes. So those are definitely two videos people are going to see. So thank you so much, Stacy, for your time today, and I'm excited about more of our conversations.
It was my pleasure, Leslie. Thank you. Bye-bye.